Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday, and that means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw After Show, and have we got a show for you. We've got our King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring qualifiers, we got a new world title number one contender, and we got a new Braun Breaker catchphrase that we're just going to go nuts with here. But before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Justin LaBar and Jimmy Corderas, who I think is petitioning on Twitter to grow a mustache.
Hey, I'm trying. Why not? It's a little tough trimming the whole thing. I know, Justin, you know about it. Jack just pulls out the blade and shaves everything. It's all gone. No problem. Down the drain. But, you know, maintenance is a little tedious at times.
This is like having another kid. I got to look after it nonstop and clean it and trim it and, you know.
Yeah. And especially, yeah, you got to get around the sides. You want to make it even. And, you know, and if you don't do it, your wife says, hey, you know, you miss a spot over there. You got to trim it up.
Whenever I shave, I try to like trim it, but I always just mess it up and eventually get to a point where I'm like, I just got to start over from zero. I can't manage it. So I just let it grow until like, okay, now I got to do something. And it always just ends up going away.
That's what's the beauty of this is you just put the old clippers on number three and go. Doesn't matter. Just run it over.
I whenever I try to shave the sideburns, it always gets like, oh, not even. And before you know it, I got a Road Warrior haircut. Yeah. Uh-oh, went too far.
At least you can do it.
At least yours grows back.
I saw an interview a long time ago with one of them. I can't remember which one of them it was, but they were talking about how They did the hair just for one night. It was only supposed to be like one night. And then the promoter was like, oh no, you got to keep that. And he's like, and I've been stuck with this hair my entire life.
Well, quick story. That's what happened with this thing. I had it on TV the first time I wore it because I petitioned to have it on. I grew it for my, my wedding. My wife wanted the goatee. She said she liked me with the goatee, whatever. But then I was told by the upper management that if you grow it, it stays. If you shave it off, it's gone forever.
Now, the question is, did you make the right decision? That's what you had to live with. I think it looks great, though. I will say I want to see the mustache. I can't remember if it was this show or NXT, but we're talking about how you need a 5-man committee to grow a mustache. Jimmy, you've got the 5-man committee. I want to see the mustache next week.
Ooh, that's going to be a tough sell. I'm going to have to work on the missus for that one.
Listen, it's better to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission, Jimmy. Just roll with it.
Only in the wrestling business. In real life, it's a different story, man.
I'd rather
face Haku in a bar.
Yeah, Jack, when you have to live with forgiveness, it's a whole different story. When you wake up next to forgiveness, that's her name, it's a whole different story. So.
Listen, okay, I think to make it scientific, chat, everyone listening and watching, in the chat or in the comments, just say whether or not Jimmy should show up next week with just a mustache. Majority rules. I think everyone, if you want a shout out, should say that Jimmy Corderas should come in with just a mustache next week. But
I think you need to put more weight to it. It needs to be like, we need to find like some match that we're really at odds for an upcoming show. And, you know, Jimmy makes his prediction And if it's not correct, you know, then he's got to shave. You know, we got to put some wrestling stakes to it.
What is Jack going to put up? Because he's got the do, man. I don't know. put the brakes on there, right?
I hear bald DJs are barely in these days in California.
Yeah, it's look. It's summertime. It's dangerous to shave your head this time of year out here. You get sunburned.
Happens up here too. But just wear a hat.
Listen, I think that we should. I think we should come up with something. Danny says hair versus hair. Whoa, let's pump the brakes here a little bit.
Next PLE, we do our predictions leading up to it. Whoever loses in the predictions is shaving something.
Fernando, brought to you by Man. No, we're not sponsored, so I'm not going to say it. Nope. But you know who we're who I was referencing. We got a good group in the chat here today. You guys, make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe. I see some new faces in here as well. By the way, shout out to Megan Harden. There go my boys. I love Mondays. And Big John in the house. Good to see you guys. I'll shout out some more of you later. Don't you worry. Let's talk about some news because there's a lot of it today. Report: Becky Lynch's WWE contract weeks away from expiration with no new deal signed. A new report from Fightful Select on Saturday claims Lynch has approximately 3 weeks left on her current deal, and as of this writing, she has not signed a new one. Justin, I think it's safe to say that Becky Lynch is leaving, right?
No, wrong. I would be shocked if she... You gotta shave your head, that's right. I'd be shocked if she left. I mean, unless she said to them, like, I don't want to be on the road like this anymore, or unless they were so far apart in money but I just can't see that happening. I just, you know, she's with her husband there. And I mean, obviously she's champion right now. I mean, she'd have to drop that, but no, I think the only thing that's, again, it's interesting about this is like a lot of these signings that we've been seeing is that they're coming down to the wire and getting new deals done. They're coming down to the wire on the current deals. And I don't know if that's a strategic thing by talent relations from a negotiation standpoint. I don't know if that's just on the list of priorities, and you know, we're seeing people be dismissed and fired. I don't know if that's part of the business merging of I'm not sure what's causing it, but even when these guys and girls are getting down to the wire on their contracts, they seem to be figuring things out if both sides still want to work together. So I expect nothing less here.
Jimmy, Justin brings a good point. It feels like lately a lot of these contracts have been signed right at the deadline. I'm curious, is that typically how it worked when you were there, as far as you knew, that it usually went down to the deadline, or does this seem kind of new?
This is a little different from when I was there, because when I was there, they tried to get the talent signed well ahead of deadline because they have plans for everybody in place, long-term booking, as they call it, as you guys know, and you want to have the pieces of the puzzle in place before you start negotiating new contracts, you know, and that sort of thing. But now, like Justin said, it just seems like whether it's a pattern, whether if I read correctly on Wrestling Inc., the fellow who is in charge of, you know, the contracts and being in aware of what's coming up and what's supposed to be renegotiated sooner rather than later, was let go because a lot of contracts were coming to near end. So I don't know if that was a reason for that letting go, whether it was just, you know, budgetary situations, but for some reason there seems to be a pattern here where a lot of superstars look, Seth Rollins is a late signee apparently, and Drew McIntyre, people, that was up in the air, even though we speculated that it was going to happen sooner or later. It just seems to be, I don't know, maybe it's just a way they're doing business, maybe as part of their business model, especially with their top stars. I don't know.
And it's weird because Jimmy, especially in wrestling, tradition would tell you that the closer you get to the contract expiration of the talent, the leverage continues to gain favor for them. Mm-hmm. If it's somebody you have any interest in keeping, if it's somebody you don't care and you're going to lowball and expect them to walk away anyways and whatever. Mm-hmm. But if it's somebody who is a top star like Becky is, every day that goes by, the leverage is more in her. You know, that's another few thousand dollars that she could be tacking on to the price tag just to make sure UWE don't lose her to a lighter schedule like an AEW.
Yeah, I was gonna say that is AEW, you think, maybe one of the reasons that wrestlers have this leverage now, and a strong I guess indie scene and things like that, is that somewhere, because I guess, Jimmy, in the past, if you had let's say 2010, you get the offer, I mean, what are you gonna do? Yeah. You know, what can you say? Where now you can be like, well, you know, we'll wait it out and we'll see, and you can kind of let WWE think about it for a little bit.
No, you didn't have many options back then because you were limited in what, if you wanted to make some good money in the business. But now there are definitely a lot of opportunities. AEW has opened the door for a lot of talent to make a great living, a great salary, doing it on a lighter schedule, as you guys said. There's other options as well. TNA is doing well and also allows their talent to do indie dates. Mm-hmm. Look at a guy like a Matt Cardona, somebody like that. He says he's making more money now than when he was in WWE because he's able to do it on his time, his schedule. He can command his fee. Merchandise goes to him, all mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So there's a lot of options out there that weren't in play years ago. So there, you know, it is something to be aware of. But like you guys said, I don't see someone like a Becky Lynch, someone on that level, being let go that easily. Maybe, who knows? Maybe the deal is there, whether it's a handshake deal or whatever, in play, but they're letting it, you know, marinate in the news this way, so like there is some traction and people start speculating, get some talk going. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you, Justin. I think the longer this waits, I'm sure it's just a small thing that they're negotiating on here, and I'm sure Becky will wait it out, and I'm sure at the last minute WWE will go, okay, fine, because you can't let her leave. But Fernando has an interesting point, Justin, or question says, can a Lex Luger situation going to the company secretly happen in today's world, do you think?
I mean, it could. I mean, it's a matter of, obviously, the contract has to naturally run out. And once it naturally runs out, there is no 90 days. Once it naturally runs out, you can show up anywhere. So, I mean, it could. I mean, not a lot of these remain secret anymore. I mean, they just, we seem to always know, either the talent saying it on an interview or social media or, you know, a report coming out. I mean, we seem to know when talent are coming down the wire with their contract. So, I mean, it is harder to pull off, but yeah, I mean, it can still technically happen. I mean, it can still happen.
It kind of happened with Sean Spears. Mm-hmm. In that he showed up in NXT. I don't think anyone really expected him to, but I think it's probably gonna be a lot tougher for someone like a Becky Lynch, with all due respect to Sean Spears.
Well, and it's easy. Right now it seems like it's easier for the Lex Luger type thing to happen AEW to WWE, because AEW has so much talent that you could go a lot of time and not see a certain talent, and it doesn't necessarily raise as many alarms as it would over in WWE, where WWE kind of has a pretty regular reoccurring cast of people you're going to see if they're healthy. Whereas AEW, it's like there's people that are out for personal reasons, injury, whatever, but there's so many of them. And I just think that it'll be a little bit easier to sneak out of AEW and the public not know that you're gone than it would be to sneak out of WWE.
I'm not a big contract guy, especially when companies are publicly traded. I don't know what kind of information is available to the public regarding contract status and that sort of thing, but I don't know if that's available to, whether it's a new source or whatever the case may be, somebody, I don't think that part of it is. You could tell me better than Mike.
The best of my recollection, the only things that ever become public when it comes with pay is if you're an executive, you can see how much Paul Levesque gets paid. And I think it even breaks out to where you see what he gets paid. You know, once upon a time, at least, you can see what he got paid as an executive. And you can see what he got paid as a talent. Same thing with Stephanie, same thing with Vince, Shane. Mm-hmm. But if you're just a talent who's a independent contractor, that doesn't fall under the public information there.
I think from a WWE versus AEW standpoint, I'd imagine WWE has a lot more hands in the honey jar when it comes to people's contracts. So if you are a news source, probably easier to find information like when people have been let go or not, as opposed to AEW, where I don't think they have as many people who are working in that world. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. WWE probably has a ton of HR people and lawyers and people who are going through all this stuff that if you have a source, it's probably easier to find, as opposed to, and I'm just guessing here, I've never worked for either company, but AEW feels like there's probably just a couple people that are going to know these things intimately. And if you don't have a contact with them, then you're just not going to know, is what I'd assume. Unless that talent lets it be known. Yeah, we also have other contract signing news. This is kind of old contract signing news. Damian Priest, according to a report from Fightful Select, Priest has signed a new multi-year contract with WWE. The report noted that Priest himself confirmed the news during an interview with Kathy Kelly after Monday Night Raw. Fightful asserts that they learned through sources that the deal was inked months ago and came down to the wire as the champion's contract was set to expire sometime in February. The signing was completed days before the deal expired. Justin, obviously a good signing. Obviously, they like the guy. He's the champion. But Justin, my question to you is, do you think their promises of being used in a good way, like being champion, was part of that negotiation process?
Maybe, but I mean, the guy at that point, he's been holding the Money in the Bank contract for 9 months. I mean, I think you kind of always have a feeling when you're holding that briefcase. I forget what the statistics are for the men holding the briefcase, but it's like over 85% that you become world champion. So I think he probably had a good feeling that as long as he stayed healthy and as long as he didn't massively screw up, you know, politically behind the scenes, that, you know, so, you know, probably all the more reason, you know, to sign. I mean, I think I saw something report like he had some say in the, you know, new entrance music and things like that. And I know music is important to Damian. He and I talked about it on an interview before. So I know that stuff is important to him. So yeah, again, this is just another one of those ones. Kind of surprising that, again, here's a guy who's carrying your Money in the Bank briefcase. He's, you know, one of your top dogs and one of your top factions that you had built Monday Night Raw around. So just strange that it, again, you let it come down, I guess, to the final days. I really don't understand what that's about. Again, if this is a result of the business merging that's going on in the boardroom, or again, I can't imagine what strategy this is that helps WWE. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, Jimmy, I always say, and I mean this in the best possible way, I feel like Damian Priest probably outkicked the coverage better than just about any NXT star, in my opinion, coming up to the main roster, as far as kind of what they did on NXT, kind of where we expected them to be and where they ended up, if that makes sense. And I mean, this is a compliment to him and how good he is. I mean, he was solid on NXT, solid when he came in, but you're also kind of looking at like who else is around. And I don't think a lot of people projected him to be a world champion down the road, yet here he is. I hope he got paid a bunch of money.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope he did. And you're right. When he first entered the main roster, he wasn't a top guy or treated as such. He was part of a faction. He's part of a group. And he was almost like a background player as opposed to someone that was featured. And he slowly evolved into that guy that became the leader of the Judgment Day. You know, with all due respect to Rhea Ripley, who looked like she took over. But he was also making waves and taking steps to be the leader of that group. And when Rhea unfortunately got hurt, man, he really started to shine, and it really showed. And we'll talk about his little interaction tonight later, but this is a guy that could be a real big player, because in as far as his contract status, is there somebody not there that's just going to sit down and go, okay, let's look over all the contracts here. Who's coming up soon? And just hammer out deals for the ones you want. And if it's somebody you're not interested in keeping and not using, let them, you know, maybe if, go elsewhere or use them in another capacity somewhere. Like someone, I'll give you an example, someone like an Italia. There's a perfect example of someone who could coach, can be down there in Florida along with her husband and just, you know, mentor this next generation of superstars. She's absolutely fabulous at doing that. And she has the pedigree.
Yeah.
the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, especially with her, and she knows her stuff. So it's an interesting situation with these contracts that are coming due very soon.
Danny Cochran says, hopefully Priest is making that Jack Farmer money. Let me tell you, if Priest and I are making the same amount of money, he needs a new agent. he needs to fire that agent, or WWE needs to pay their guy a lot more, because if we're making the same amount, he's someone's getting the wrong end of the stick here. But I would love to be making Damian Priest money. Let me put that out there. I always say, WWE, I'll take your checks. We've got some news. Cody Rhodes is reportedly among Fanatics' top 10 overall sports merchandise sellers. This also coming on the back of what rumors are suggesting that Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul will main event King and Queen of the Ring this year. Jimmy, what are your thoughts on the show being called King and Queen of the Ring, but neither of those matches main eventing, and overall thoughts on shows like Royal Rumble not being the main event, etc.?
Well, it's interesting choice of words saying that it's the main event, and it's, you know, it's like you said, the pay-per-view is named King and Queen of the Ring. So I'm assuming that the Queen of the Ring match will probably open the show. They may have another women's match on the show. And I was expecting the King of the Ring finals to be the conclusion to the night. You know, it hasn't been done before where they, a match they call the main event, especially involving the title match, is put somewhere, inserted somewhere else in the show, because they want the King of the Ring afterwards or whatever the finish may be. I'm speculating that there's some sort of shenanigans going to happen in the finish here, because is it champion versus champion? I know Cody tweeted something recently that he was looking forward to holding two title belts or something along those lines. So is the United States Championship on the line? Is this going to go further past King of the Ring where they will actually main event and be the top and last match in a pay-per-view? Who knows? My fantasy booking is going crazy here, and I do have a scenario that I think could help them out if they're not planning on doing any pinfalls or trying to keep the title on both guys. But that's just, you know, how my brain works sometimes, and maybe I'll spill it next week if we're doing the prediction show, or if you want to hear it now, I'll give it to you now.
I kind of want to say it for the prediction show, but me being, I want to open my Christmas presents early, Jack Farmer.
No, that's called the teaser, ladies and gentlemen, next week. No, next week.
I am still a child. Justin, your thoughts on everything we chatted about, and also just Cody Rhodes. I think just such a great story and how all the success he's getting.
Yeah, I'm not surprised he's in the top 10 selling. I mean, you know, he's very popular, very popular to all demos, very popular to adults, very popular to kids. You know, adults like him and appreciate him and know his story and remember his father. Kids look at him and he's, you know, he's this all American superhero. So not surprised by that. I think the King and Queen of the Ring, I think one of those matches, one of the finals of those matches will be what finishes in main events, the event in Saudi Arabia. Especially if the men's tournament continues to play out the way that I have predicted on a tweet a few days ago, I could see exactly why the men's match would be the last one. What's interesting is, and I brought this up on Busted Open this past weekend, it is very possible that Cody Rhodes as champion does not main event, meaning he's not the last match. It's very possible that he's not the last match for the next several PLEs, because think about it. If he's not the last match at this King and Queen of the Ring, which I don't think he will be, I can actually see them, either him and Logan Paul, they're kicking the night off, or if they kick the night off at the Queen's match, they put Cody and Logan right somewhere in the middle. But I don't think he's the last match at that. Then you have Clash at the Castle, which if all parties are healthy, how do you end on anything other than Drew McIntyre and CM Punk?
Mm-hmm.
Or if Punk's not healthy, if it's Drew versus Priest. Again, how do you end with anything other than Drew and the Clash of the Castle? Okay, so then we go to Money in the Bank. Very common to the Money in the Bank. One of the two Money in the Bank ladder matches, that finishes that. And now we're at SummerSlam. So it's quite possible that Cody would not be the last match for several of these PLEs coming up.
That's actually a very interesting point. Do you think, Justin, to double back on that, will that hurt the view of the reign Cody Rhodes is having? Because Roman Reigns would never not main event.
I don't think so. I think it's still a big deal. I think hopefully the creative that we've been seeing, and there's been so much intent and purpose going on, and Cody will of course have his influence. The matches will still be a big deal, still matter. You know, it's not a throwaway. And it's for good reason. All right, you're not the last match tonight because the gimmick is the finals of this tournament that we're building the whole show around, the whole its namesake. Okay, you're not last tonight because we're in Scotland for the first time ever for PLE, and Drew McIntyre is our hottest heel, but he's going to be the top babyface just for tonight. Okay, you're not last tonight because it's Money in the Bank, and there's no bigger story than who grabs the briefcases. So I think it's all for good reason. It's not like, oh, we're not putting you. It's not like when Punk was champion decade plus ago, and he went on that run of like however many pay-per-views it was where they didn't put him last, and it was just because, you know, they felt that the other world champion was bigger, or they felt that, like, you know, Cena's program was bigger, whatever he was doing. I mean, at least it has like good, these next few, I think, are pretty good reasons if it happens the way I'm thinking.
I want to shout out Tuck Graf, by the way, saying Priest would trade that bag for the love that Jack gets. Well, thank you. I am very wealthy in that. I appreciate you all. And Tuck Graf says Jimmy's fantasy booking is the best fantasy booking.
Oh, so because I live in a fantasy world, man. What can I tell you?
I just say what I see in my fantasy world. Yeah. Everyone, please make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. Dylan Matthews in the chat, Majestic Marie, Tommy O in the house, Jonathan Torres, Martin Kanyinji. I'm sorry if I'm saying your last name wrong, but we got Brianne, Big John, Stephen Camp, Ricky Zaldivar, Chad W, Megan Harden, Johnny Brown, Ethan Cruz, Fernando. By the way, it says a stash would look excellent, Jimmy. Just throwing it out there.
Still got to run it by the misses, I'm telling you.
The TLD, Adonde, Ronald. We got Tuck Graf. It's called us the Smoking Jays. I like that. That's a good good one. And Shano 17, Armando, Spencer, Ebony coming through. Always good to see you, Ebony. And, of course, we got Georgina. Good to see you as well. Laura, Ethan Cruz, Mike Martin calling us his favorite crew of trolls. good to see you, Mike Martin. We got Dro, Baby Ice, JR, Terry Allen. I see your chat, and I will talk about that once we get to Shayna Baszler. We got Stalking You, Leonard, and Kavinda. I don't think I've seen you before, Kavinda, but thanks for coming through. And Daniel Barry, Eddie Arce, Sup Fellas, and chat, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Good to see you from Wisconsin. And Ola, Ricky, always good to see you as well. Lots of folks in the chat today. Samson Samuel, another one coming through, and tons of folks here. Jose Lurkin. Wow, good crew. Thanks everyone for being here. Cool. Hit that like button, and again, leave a comment after the show, even if it's just good show right after we go off the air. It's always appreciated. Let's chat about Drew McIntyre, who comes out and says CM Punk only makes the big towns, and then runs down CM Punk some more, then runs down Jey Uso before coming back to Damian Priest in the world title. Priest comes out and says, try talking trash to someone's face, before Priest says he wanted to cash in on Seth, but it's McIntyre's fault he got cashed in on. That's when Drew says, Drew got beat up by a one-armed guy, and if Drew wants a title shot, he's got it. Justin Labar, this was, I thought, a really fun way to start the show. Drew McIntyre, we've been saying how great he is for a while, but something that's really hitting home for me right now is he's not only just great, but he's a very consistent character in like what his motivations are, who he's mad about. Like, he always brings it back to the same motivations, and that, I think, goes underappreciated in pro wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes if you really stop and think about what he's saying, you kind of go, oh, he's got a point. Yeah. And that's a very powerful stance to be at as a heel. He's consistent. I mean, he's just every week, he's a must see, must hear. What is he going to say? What is he going to do? Especially, what is he going to say? And that's great, because as any pro wrestler will tell you, if you can be entertaining for a night and have people talking about you, remember you, talk about you, can further stories and keep getting put on TV every week and not have to take a damn bump. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate dream, right? You know, take the bumps only when really need be. So, and he's at that spot right now. I don't need to see him take a bump until CM Punk delivers it to him, or maybe until Damian Priest delivers it to him. This is great work, and I thought this was very interesting, this interaction with he and Priest, because, you know, it kind of felt it last week. We felt it at Backlash, you know, with Priest not wanting help, and it was very interesting to have Priest go toe-to-toe on the mic with what is arguably the top heel in the company right now, because it just further kind of cements that, hey, are we slowly turning Damian Priest to be a fan favorite?
Mm-hmm. And Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this, but this is where I'm going to ask the question. I try to think about, what does the negative Twitter person think, and what are they going to respond with? Without actually commenting during the show, what are they thinking? And I can imagine one of them saying, guys, I feel like this is supposed to be about the world title and they're focusing too much on CM Punk. What are your thoughts about that?
I get where they're coming from, but at the same time, it is the big money match right now is Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk. Mm-hmm. It's the unfortunate fact that the world championship is not the main story right now. It's up to someone like Damian Priest to elevate that title, not that title to elevate Damian Priest, like he said. And what he did tonight was he stood toe-to-toe on the mic with Drew McIntyre, which is not easy to do nowadays. And not only does it, like Justin said, do we see that little turn seem to be coming, you heard the crowd coming with him too. Mm-hmm. They started cheering Priest. So there's your first sign that they're getting on board with Damian Priest right now. And that's a very important factor in this. Second of all, this sets up so many different scenarios. And again, here comes the fantasy brain in me that when they go to, if it happens at Clash at the Castle, if Drew's ready to go, there's two ways you can go with this. Either scenario works where either Drew loses, Drew wins and captures the championship, and you can have a scenario which can lead to that. And or you can have Drew losing, which you have an obvious scenario leading to that, which is CM Punk causes Drew to lose. But what if, for some reason, Judgment Day were the reasons why Damian Priest loses that championship to Drew McIntyre, and then that causes the friction there, and Drew just wipes them all out or something along those lines. You see, there's several different directions. That's the beauty of this, but I wouldn't want to see Drew with the championship just yet because that feud with him and CM Punk doesn't need it.
It doesn't need it. You're right, Jimmy. It almost, and you know, kind of what you're alluding to, it almost feels like it's bigger than the title right now, the personal issue. But I'll say this, if Drew has a match, whether it be in Saudi Arabia or whether it's a Clash Castle, if he has a match against Priest for the title, I know it's kind of become part of the story and shtick that like Drew just keeps, you know, he can't get out of his own way, or he can't get CM Punk out of his mind, so he can't get out of his own way. But Drew's on such momentum right now with his over heel gimmick. I don't know if I'd want to see him lose that match to Priest. I mean, even if it is Punk costing him again, it would be a little, I don't know. I would be intrigued about the possibility of Drew McIntyre walking into his home country as champion, finally. You know, all the talk about how he was champion in front of an empty crowd, empty arenas, and then he won it, had it for 5 minutes until he lost it at Mania. You know, if he finally gets to go in to his country as champion and go against his number one guy he just can't stand, right. It doesn't need it, but sure as hell would be pretty awesome.
So question to both of you guys, do you think that is the out for it, or a possible out at least, where Judgment Day costs Damian Priest the title and Drew wins it that way?
Well, you know, I actually think it's better if Drew has one. I think anything with the title is better. I actually kind of like the idea of Drew becoming the champion, because right now Drew's like, I want to beat up CM Punk. I want to fight CM Punk. If he gets the championship, suddenly he can go, you know what? I don't know if Punk should get a shot against me. And now he can pivot. And now it's CM Punk having to earn a shot at Drew, and he has to chase him a little bit.
Or CM Punk coming back and winning a Money in the Bank briefcase in July, and all of a sudden saying, hey, big boy, you don't got a choice.
Right. You can kind of continue to play it instead of just we're back.
That would be fun. That would be fun having Drew as champion, continue to dodge Punk, and then Punk wins the briefcase and is now chasing him around.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Steve Camp is saying, yeah, that'd actually be kind of funny. And now he's like, get away from me, CM Punk. that would be awesome. Gabriel saying yeet time. And Baby Eyes saying unanimous. We want Drew. Mike Martin saying, Jack, but why can't they just give Drew his flowers? Cry. I agree.
Is he a Drew crybaby?
we're all Drew crybabies. We got a really important question here. James Orwell asking Justin Labar, is that a major league shirt, Justin? Respect.
Yo, bartender, Joe Boo needs a refill.
Love it. We got some King of the Ring matches that went down tonight, and boy, were they doozies. Kofi Kingston takes on Gunther in a hard-hitting one, and Gunther gets the win. Jey Uso battles Ilya Dragunov in the main event, and Jey Uso gets the win. Justin, I felt like both of these matches delivered absolutely big time. Any quick takeaways from either of them, both of them?
Both matches are great. I love the pacing of Kofi and Gunther. Obviously, we've seen, you know, as commentary alluded, we've seen them before when Gunther's IC champion. So, you know, trying to get a fresh take on this match. I love the aggression from Kofi before the bell even rings, and it's all illegal because the bell hasn't rang, so you can't disqualify him from anything. I liked it. Hard hitting. Same thing with Uso and Ilya Dragunov. Everything went the way that I have it on my bracket. because I think the way this is setting up, I don't know how it's going to happen next week, but it's on my bracket that it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Jey Uso's going to beat Gunther somehow, some way. He's mm-hmm. lost to him many. He's lost to him several times before when Gunther was IC champion. Jey's going to get one back on Gunther. Don't know how. Don't know what outside interference. What's what it's going to be. But Jey Uso's going to the finals, as he should, because the final match that makes the most sense for this King of the Ring tournament is Jey Uso on the left side of the bracket, and on the other side of the bracket is Tama Tonga. How do you have Tama Tonga, who has just gotten to the company? How do you put? He hasn't even had a singles match on TV until this tournament. So how do you put him in that tournament and not have him at the bare minimum make it to the finals? You can't have him lose any time prior. And Tama Tonga versus Jey Uso would be a great story. It would be great for the finals. And you could go. I could come up with scenarios for either one winning. Mm-hmm. But you know, look, it'd be a great story. And hey, son of Haku, Haku was a king once. So I think it has to be Tama Tonga versus Jey Uso for the finals. So that's how I see this going. Jay's going to beat Gunther somehow, some way next week.
Real quick, sorry, Jack, to jump on you here, but Justin, you tweeted something earlier that you noticed a little thing from Gunther, and I really enjoyed that tweet.
I mean, Gunther, they're working on, Kofi's working on Gunther's knee relentlessly. That's what he's doing to keep him down. And then later in the match, as Gunther's finally back on top delivering the offense, he delivered a backbreaker. He slammed Kofi's back into his knee, and Gunther slammed Kofi's back into Gunther's knee, and then Gunther sold the knee.
Mm-hmm.
Like he delivered the punishment to Kofi, but he did it at the expense of hurting himself, and he stopped to sell that. And it's like, yes, it keeps the it all in it.
Things that matter. And really quickly, if I could point out something else that Gunther does that a lot of guys don't seem to do nowadays, is when you're shooting somebody into the corner and you're three quarters of the way across the ring and letting him go, and this guy has to run across the ring to hit the turnbuckles. No, Gunther is like, he feeds him, like he's right in there. And when Kofi hit those turnbuckles, it's like, bang, and Kofi fell out instead of just staying there. I see the little stuff like that makes me go, yes, that's what I want to see.
Well, speaking of what we want to see, Jimmy, Justin Labar said this is how his bracket was shaping up and what he was expecting. Tutgraph in the chat says, no surprises on winners. My question to you is, were you surprised? And if not, is that okay?
It is okay. It's always okay, because a lot of times people are going to say, well, that was too predictable. That's fine. But what about the match that led up to the finish there? Were there times during the match where they almost got you and you went, ooh, I thought that was it, when it was the other guy? And that was the beauty of this. They did that several times with Kofi and in the match with Ilya Dragunov, because a lot of people were saying, oh, it's got to be Jey Uso, while others were saying, well, do you want Ilya Dragunov to lose a match this soon while coming up to the main roster? So there was that little bit of skepticism. And, you know, I thought the matches were great and told great stories, and they had good psychology. And why can't we just sit back and enjoy instead of saying that was too predictable? That happens just far too often nowadays.
What's my phrase? I always say predictable's fine as long as it's logical.
Yes.
I always say, you know what? I love Marvel movies, but I kind of figure the good guy's going to win every single time. Still enjoy the ride.
Mm-hmm. Who went to the new Ghostbusters movie going, you know, I really thought the apocalypse was finally going to hit.
Poor Bill Murray.
Come on.
Yeah. Like,
it's how they get there. It's the story of how they get there.
Could you imagine someone walking out? Man, so predictable. You know, Ghostbusters always win. They're shoved down our throats, guys.
Right, right. Yeah.
Bad booking. Bad booking in that movie.
Baby, I says Thanos was robbed. Majestic Marie saying Gunther's her favorite. And Adonde saying, Justin, you're cooking right now.
There you
Justin's
go.
Always cooking.
Yeah, man.
This is. I mean, that's don't why you... Gordon Ramsay's not going to be on this show, because Gordon Ramsay's going to be like, you're showing me how to cook, Justin.
Don't you smell what Labar is cooking? I can't because I have allergies tonight, but everybody else.
I want to say one last thing for these. I just got to put over how great I thought everyone involved here. Kofi, I was sold on that top rope boom drop at the very beginning of that match. Like, oh my God, he's going to get a quick one on him. This is like, I was hook, line, and sinker on that one, and him working the leg again. I agreed. And Dragunov, I tweeted one of the fastest to get to the main event from NXT, and everyone corrected me with Finn Balor. As I said, one of, I put the little qualifier in there because I don't do research.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before I tweet, I just shoot off these things.
Somebody missed a word in there, I guess.
Yeah. So I, just so I don't fact check anything. I just tweet it out. That's just flow of consciousness.
Well, I have an excuse at least built in. I've been hitting the head a lot.
So. we also got some teases for Karrion Kross versus Kofi Kingston and possibly Sheamus versus Ludwig Kaiser throughout all this as well. Oh, and Dragunov versus Gunther potentially down the road as they stared each other down. On the other side of things, we had the Queen of the Ring. What was it called? It's Queen's Cup tournament or something last year, wasn't it? I almost said that, I think. Shayna Baszler versus Io Sky and Lyra Valkyria versus Zoe Stark went down. Io Sky gets the win for her match, and Lyra Valkyria picks up the win on hers. Jimmy, two things came out that I have questions for two things. One, Io Sky kind of came across like the face in this one, in the sense that she kind of was the one fighting from underneath. Shayna Baszler sort of dominating throughout, and Io had to come from behind to get the win here. Do you think there's a change of direction for Io, or is this just a look? This is how we got to approach a Shayna Baszler match, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's the latter there, because Shayna Baszler isn't really a true clear-cut babyface as well. So her style, you know, just screams, you know, brutal heel. You know what I mean? You saw some of the submission moves she put on. One thing I like was the transition when she was putting on the Karabuda clutch, as Michael Cole called it. You know, she used her right arm, then switched to the left arm right in mid-thing before they transitioned into something else. Little things like that I enjoy watching, little things. But I think that's part of the reason why, to your question, as because Shayna Baszler's style, unless she was like a badass babyface, you know, I don't want to say the Stone Cold word, because there's very few people like that, if ever any others. But, you know, I don't think she comes across as a true babyface. So that was the reason why I think Io Sky had to fight from underneath, because of the size difference, the style difference, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, Terry Allen Jr. with the super chat. Thanks for being patient, Terry. Shayna's style of wrestling is patience. My style. I really enjoy Shayna Baszler. I feel like they've got a really great wrestler with her. And I think she's believable. I think she looks like someone who could beat you up, and she could beat you up. So that's probably why she looks like it. And so I've been a fan of hers. I was a big fan of her run in NXT as well. Justin, your thoughts on both the matches, but also something, I don't know if you caught this, but Lyra Valkyria, when she entered, you could hear some of the crowd doing her theme song kind of sing along. And I thought it was interesting, because most of the sing-alongs, like Trick Williams, it's very easy. You can catch on to it pretty quickly how to do it. But hers is a little trickier. You got to kind of know the song. And I felt like we were hearing what the NXT crowd looks like in a full arena. I don't know if that makes sense, or if you have thoughts on that, or if you heard that at all. Or
no, it's interesting. I think for Lyra, I think this week was a better showing for her than last week was on Raw. Last week, it was a little clunky from what my eyes could see. Thought tonight was a little bit better against Zoe. You know, Shayna and Io, you know, I agree. Shayna obviously is very believable. The thing that we haven't seen with Shayna is like, you know, can she talk you in the building? We only saw it once, and it was when it was rooted in, you know, like letting us weave in with reality. It was when her and Ronda's last, I think, last match. And so they kind of let Shayna kind of speak as like what a lot of like the online fans are saying, when it seems like they were just kind of done with Ronda. And so Shayna delivered that and believable there. I haven't really heard it since then. You know, overall, this raw side of the Queen of the Rings bracket, obviously no disrespect to any lady, it's very weak compared to the SmackDown side, where you have Tiffany Stratton, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargo, and Nia Jax all advanced into the next round. Like, it's just, I don't know if that's done on purpose. I don't know if it's going to be the situation of where it's going to be one of those. Well, obviously, it will be one of those four off the SmackDown side. Mm-hmm. And then if it's like a Lyra, and so it's meant to be like an underdog thing, or Lyra's new to the main roster, or she's going up against Nia Jax, who Nia Jax is a veteran. I'm not sure if it's done on purpose, but when you really look at the brand comparison of the bracket, I'm like, oof, this Raw side just can't hold, you know, at least from a name value right now, a name interest value to SmackDown. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, all four on SmackDown side could be world champion tomorrow.
Right.
And I'd go, oh, okay, that makes sense. Where I like all the competitors on the Raw side, but they need some time before they're there. I had a referee question for you, Jimmy.
Yes.
When Shayna Baszler, she was hanging upside down on the turnbuckle at one point by her leg, mm-hmm. and she was on the outside, hanging on the outside, and the ref mm-hmm. asked, do you want to call it? Kind of like,
yeah, right.
Quit. Mm-hmm. Can she quit when she's on the outside in the ropes? Like, is that maybe I'm overanalyzing, but since I'm talking to a future Hall of Fame referee here, I figured I'd ask, like, is that an appropriate time to ask, do you want to quit?
It's interesting. I found that kind of odd as well. I've never had the situation where I've had to ask someone if they quit while they were tied up in the ropes or whatever the case may be. That was kind of different to me. And then helping her out, because obviously you want to help them get untied. Sometimes I've done the same thing when they got caught up in the ropes or that, attempting to, you know, get them unhooked or whatever the case may be. But it was weird that he unhooked her and then she fell.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was like, you know, if I was trying to do it in real world, I would say, hang on to the rope. I'm going to try and unhook your foot or something along those lines. That was the odd thing for me. But and also the question being asked there, because you know, you're asking someone if they're injured while they're tied up in the ropes, get them loose first.
Yeah.
If they fall to the floor, then go to the floor and say, listen, can you continue, or whatever the case may be, or, you know, you check on them there, not while they're tied up in the ropes. That came across as odd to me.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't think I wouldn't have thought anything of it if I had not had a direct access to you, but then I was like, oh, I'm just asking. That's an interesting kind of interesting moment. Justin, last thing for this part, the QR code popped up during this mm-hmm. match. And I think it's the first time Cole and McAfee actually addressed it. What were your thoughts on that? I kind of felt like they didn't seem that interested in it, considering their broadcast was being hijacked. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. How do you feel like how their reaction was?
Yeah, it's tough because you're right. Like, you, on the one hand, if you downplay it, if you acknowledge it, but you don't like have a lot of energy to it, you know, like, are you inadvertently burying the gimmick that's going on here? But at the same time, if there's not going to be any reveal on the night, which there wasn't, you know, it's just more of these clues, you don't want to, like, you know, you still have a match going on, you know, like, so you don't, so I thought they tried to play the middle ground of, okay, finally acknowledge it. Let's not act like we all haven't seen these. So that's like, you know, let's acknowledge it. But at the same point, you still don't know what it is. So let's just get back to business here. The thing I took away from this is that this is the first time, as you said, they've acknowledged it. So to me, that tells me we're getting closer.
Yeah.
To whatever the reveal is going to be of who is behind all this. So, you know, whether that's as soon as next week in Raw, whether that's I feel like it'd be weird if it was during this King of the Ring thing in Saudi. That just doesn't seem like that'd be in place, but it seems like it's coming sooner than later.
Yeah. Beer Money says, I feel like they said it to tell the audience, hey, you should know about this because something is happening soon. I predict Raw after Saudi to kick off a new story.
That makes sense.
Could very well be.
Baby Ice says, Cole is scared to acknowledge it. He knows something is on the horizon. Ominous.
Something.
And Adonde, I always wondered, doesn't the commentary team see what we see on their monitors? They do. Which makes sense to the point why they acknowledged it. But Justin, I think you explained it pretty well. Like, yeah, you can't go on a 5-minute, like, what's going on here while the match is going on. Mm-hmm. But especially if there's no payoff. But at the same time, it was a little bit like, oh, looks like stuff's hijacking the signal again.
Well, yeah, because like, you know? I mean, like from the creative aspect, like, you want people obviously to go down the rabbit hole, pun intended. You want them mm-hmm. to scan the code and go find it, but you don't necessarily want to tell them to do it right this moment because you don't want them to disengage from the match. That's why a lot of these times they've had the tease, I feel like more of the teases have been during random backstage things, what have you, not during a match. So that's for them to do it during a match, that then kind of forces commentary to say something. Again, all the more reason why I say they're getting closer to the end of this.
Mm-hmm. I do say this as I realize right now, if that happened right now, like if something flashed on the screen and flashed away, I literally would probably just go, oh, that was weird. Anyway,
Wrestling Inc's gonna launch a whole new podcast that has nothing to do with any of the three of us, and they're gonna start just like dropping in QR codes and just sell it, guys. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm nitpicking them, but that's literally probably what I would do. I go, oh, huh, that was weird.
I would love it. They flash that QR code some way, and then Cole goes, what, "Did you see that? Did you see that, Pat?" And Pat's kind of like. He's kind of hypnotized by it or something. I don't know.
Something that stemmed from everything throughout the night as well. Dakota Kai faced Becky Lynch. Dakota makes a fight of it, but eventually Lynch gets the disarm her on before Kai can tap. Damage control attacks Becky Lynch, giving Lynch the win by DQ. Lyra comes out to stop damage control, and then Liv Morgan comes out and attacks Becky Lynch. Jimmy, a lot of stuff happened at the end of this one. My only real takeaway is I don't really know if Dakota Kai needed to not tap out. Feels like Becky's your champion. She's a huge star. Dakota Kai, with all due respect, she's taken a few L's already. It seemed weird that they feel like they kind of protected her in this case.
It did seem weird, but it almost felt like here we go, post-match 101. You know, here we go, the heels attack. Here comes a big save. And then we get that one last, jump by Liv Morgan to set that off. So I agree with you. I don't think it was necessary. Like you said, though, she has taken a lot of W, not W. She needs a W. She hasn't taken it. She hasn't had any. She's had a lot of W, L. I keep saying that again.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
You're going to will it into existence. Dakota Kai is going
to. I hope so. It was that QR code that was flashing. That's got me going.
Yeah.
No, but she has had a few L's, and let's, like you say, you can get over without going over, but at the same time, you do need a couple of W's to get you past that point.
Yeah, Justin, obviously this was one of the biggest news of the night, but at the same time, it felt like it did a good job of keeping us interested in certain things that are going along the way. And I think it did good for Lyra to save Becky Lynch in the eyes of the fans.
Yeah, in the eyes of the fans, again, especially if Lyra, to my prediction, if she goes deep into the tournament. I like the backstage interaction of, Becky being right there behind Liv and then giving her a little punch and, using the B word to her and a little verbal retaliation. Mm-hmm. The match, it was what it was. A lot of moving parts here. The thing I take away from this, kind of going back to what we started the show with, talking about contract news, is that obviously we know Becky Lynch was not the original plan for post-Mania to be champion. She became champion because of Rhea's injury and vacating. My thought is, wow, if Liv ends up beating Becky here soon for the title, and if there's no new contract news out there, like let the speculation run rampant of, oh, they just pulled the title off of Becky. What's happening?
Right. Yeah. That would be kind of interesting. We would go speculation crazy. Yeah. She's not going to lose the title, and she's not going to.
No, she's not going to show up somewhere dropping it in a garbage can.
Either. Well, no, but let me put it this way. I could see Liv Morgan winning the title again. Becky wasn't their plan to be champion. And if, depending on how long or how short, Rhea's time out is of with injury, I mean, when Rhea comes back, the perfect person to be the champion on the brand she's on is Liv, right? Because Liv's the one who's credited with injuring her. So,
Tutgraf says, in the eyes of the fans, is such an interesting phrase. You know what I mean? How else do I know you're just kind of speaking and you're not like, give me a hard time, Tuck, but it's like, how else do you say that? You know what I mean? Like, to get people to cheer her and associate her with the good guys.
And Tuck, I think you have to understand from our perspective, when we do the show, we record live here. Sometimes we're looking at things through like, okay, how do they want the fans to see it? Of good guy, bad guy. Sometimes we start to pull the curtain back and we start doing how's Triple H seeing things from the creative side. Like, so when Jack or any of us say that, it's because we constantly are putting on different shades of glasses and looking at it. Sometimes we speak of, oh, I bet you Nick Khan's thinking about it this way. Cause it's just different perspectives.
Yeah, especially like, and just talk, I know you're just giving us a hard time. I'm used to it. Don't worry about it. The thick skin. But it's like when I look at the referees and I see something that I go, ooh, you know what I mean? It throws me off, because coming from that world, I'll notice something that somebody might not notice, especially the audience there. They may not see it, but when I see it on television, I go, ooh, why'd they do that? You know?
Yeah. That's why I asked you about that moment, that hanging upside down moment. Adonde says, Liv's taking the title soon, and taking Dom would push that Rhea comeback story further. I think that's what we're all waiting for to happen. Alpha Academy has a tough night. Chad Gable sets up some matches for his guys. Sammy takes on Otis, and Otis actually looks like he's about to get the win before Chad Gable gets involved. Bronson Reed takes on my guy, Akira Tozawa, and this one is not quite as evenly matched as the other one, as Akira just gets thumped. I think one of the things that WWE is doing so well right now is this like layered storytelling. And you know, I DJ, and a lot of people say, you know, like, how do you know what song to play or whatever? And I would say, it's not what song to play next. It's what song am I going to play three songs from now, that you're always thinking, how are you getting not what's next, but what's happening three from now? And I feel like WWE is doing that with stories, because clearly Chad Gable has what's going on right now, but you can see them laying the groundwork for what's going to come after that and after that and after that. And it's going back to predictable, but it's just so smart. Like, Chad Gable set up for, depending on how long they want to go, for months.
Yeah, I mean, the people cannot wait to see Otis punch Chad Gable in the mouth, and they're gonna explode. It's gonna be a great pop, great reaction. And again, I know we have praised Chad Gable so much on this podcast, but it has to be spoken and said here. We praised him about how awesome of a babyface he was, and you know what it could have, should have, with his attempts to Gunther, you know, should they pull the trigger, you know, his family's there front row, was that the, you know, whatever, he was such an over babyface who was fighting from below, fighting and crawling in the mid card, such an over babyface. And now within relatively quick time span, he's become one of the biggest POS heels. Just berating Maxine. Not crossing any like crazy line of like, oh, did they go too far there from a like a, is that okay in 2024 entertainment? But just being rude to her, just being so like that, and then dismissive of a Tozawa, who's like everybody's favorite little dancing, entertaining, high flying guy, and then lovable big old Otis. He's like, he has just turned it on, where it's like he is one of the top heels they have. It's like everybody's just waiting for him to eat crow, and that is all easier said than to execute. To be one way and then less than 6 months later be the other. I mean, it's really speaking to his range and his abilities. It's awesome.
He has made Shush popular. He has made a thank you, and I'm telling you, Jimmy, the next one's going to be, it's pathetic. That's going to be his next one. I love it, but I want to hear, you know, your comments on this, your talks on it. Like, I want to hear everything you have to say about this. But also, after he yelled at Alpha Academy, Michael Cole said, that's not the way to motivate people. Take it from me. what do you think Michael Cole was talking about, Jimmy?
Gee, I don't know. Let me think for a minute.
I'm just curious if you have any insight
it may have to do with someone who was there previously that kind of jabbered in his ear all night long while he was trying to do play-by-play, but I could be wrong on that one.
Damn it, to stop dancing.
It's not wrestling, damn it, it's sports entertainment. Oh, sorry, I get that. But, you know, Chad Gable right now is your dream heel. But, and you look out through the history of guys who are big baby faces and over with the crowd, and people love them organically. And when they flip that switch and go the other way, people are so disappointed that they just can't stand what they're seeing. And that's what they're seeing in Chad Gable right now. And like you said, Justin, he's a real SOB. It's not like those heels where you see someone and you go, you know what? That's kind of cool the way he's being a heel. I don't mind him. Yay. When he comes. No, this is like, you're a terrible person. How can you talk to people like that? Because he's talking the way to people that you don't want to be spoken to. And that's simple. It's so simple. And it still works in 2024. And thank you, Chad Gable, for showing everybody that it can.
You know, and I think I want to give some flowers to the Alpha Academy as well, because I think Chad Gable is incredible. But if Otis, Akira, and Maxine weren't all such lovable people, then I don't know if this would work as well either. But they're so, for different reasons, people that the fans that we love. It's hard to not love Otis. And to see him just get berated and look sad is so, like, soul crushing. And, you know, because I think if he was friends with The Miz and he was yelling at The Miz, you'd go, whatever, Miz deserves it. But because, Jimmy, your point, the face, like, they're so good at, like, selling this, just sad and broke down. You feel terrible. So I think we got to give them their flowers too, Jimmy.
No, absolutely. And you saw at the end of the match, after he berated Otis outside the ring and he left him walking up the ramp, and the close-up shot of Otis, it was almost torn between being upset and wanting to just lash out. And people were buying it. They were seeing it in the arena. Of course, they got it on the Tron so they could see. Mm-hmm. And they were going, do it. Come on. Just let go. And that's the emotion you want. It's all about emotion. And people forget that. And I have to do it once a week. It's not about your twisting, burning 450 hammer Phoenix splash. It's about getting people invested in you. And they next week, trust me, if they go continue with this and they're on TV next week on Raw, people are going to say, do it, Otis, come on, please, just do it.
Now, Justin, do you think, now clearly we're going to get Chad Gable versus someone in Alpha Academy, but do you think one of them embraces the dark side and backs up Chad Gable in this one? Because I could imagine, like, Akira standing up for himself, and then it looks like Otis is, and then he takes out Akira, and everyone hates Otis even more.
It's a great question. It would be good if one of them did. And I say that because if Otis, Tozawa, and Maxine all have a moment in the smack dab in the middle of the ring where, you know, Tozawa does his little dance and then punches Chad in the face, and then Otis shimmy shakes his hips and then he punches Chad in the face, and then Maxine goes, thank you, and she kicks him in the balls. That's all great for that moment. Okay, what's next for those three?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if one or two of the three do stay behind, and I would vote to have Maxine. If Maxine stays behind and stays aligned with Chad, that will give all parties involved, if they want it, more life. There's more story, continuation, versus, okay, they just turned on Chad. We got a big moment out of that, but now what do we do with Otis and Tozawa?
Mm-hmm.
But if Maxine stays back, and then she has got Ivy Nile come up to her, like, what are you doing? Why, you know, and now there's something there. And also, you know, Maxine can play into, you know, some of the unfortunate stuff that surfaced, but they can play into it. You know, you fans don't appreciate me. You know, this man, yeah, he might have spoke to me. It was tough love. It was the tough love I needed to get better so I can dominate this women's division. You guys didn't understand it. You just wanted to make fun. There's things there that they could do with that. And even if Tozawa wanted to stay back and you let Otis be the one that actually turned and goes babyface because he's got such, I think, charisma there. If Tozawa even wanted to stay back, I mean, like, I think there should be consideration to not have all of them have their day in the sun beating up Chad Gable. Somebody should swerve us, bro. And this is where you can go off of the predictability. This is where a swerve does come into logical play. Of you still need to continue the story and continue the characters. So don't have them all turn babyface. Have one of them have been mind brainwashed by Chad.
I have to tell you guys, if you're on the audio only version, you have missed Justin doing the Otis dance, and you need to make your way to YouTube right now.
There you go.
But, you know, as you're saying this, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I think Maxine staying behind would be great, because I could imagine, yeah, Otis hitting Chad, Akira hitting Chad, and then Maxine turning and just kicking Otis, in the balls. Are we allowed to say balls? I don't know what we're allowed to say anymore. Kicking them in the yam bags. You know.
Grapefruits.
In the nuggets.
In the twig and berries. And then, you know, slap.
Just use medical language. We can't get in trouble for using medical language. Just say testicles.
The testicles. What was the what did Vince McMahon used to call them all the
grapefruits.
Time? The grapefruits. Grapefruits.
Yeah,
yeah, great. That's right. Grapefruits. I was thinking testicular fortitude was the word.
I don't know if we should be quoting Vince and.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know if we should be.
Fair enough. But my point is, because everyone would hate her for turning on Otis, particularly because they're always paired up like almost like a couple, and then she's just like, you were a loser. You always were a loser. I think that would be really.
She makes the most sense. Yeah. Look at how busy that women's division is.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect to Maxine, but like right now, just character wise, do you think that she is going to have any chance right now to thrust herself to be a top baby face in the female scene? Even if she's a lovable character, at some point the bell has to ring, and she's just not there yet to be able to deliver the type of match you have to deliver to be at the top of the division as a babyface, at least with any kind of staying power. One off is one thing, but so I think it would be the best thing just to lean in, let her keep getting trained and coached by this just maniacal brainwashing Chad Gable. And I think that'll give her more life than just kicking him in the yam bags and going off in the sunset with Tozawa and Otis. So it's like, okay, what's next for them next week? What are we doing?
Especially during a time where the women's division is really flourishing right now, and they're putting a lot of effort to show them on television. They're getting their time, and they're getting a lot of time on television. I think you're right, Justin. I think that's a perfect spot for her to be the heel side.
A lot of people seem to want the Creeds to join Chad Gable, which I think could be great also. I think, by the way, I don't know, I might get in trouble for this one, but I'm just going to go for it anyways. In the comments, leave us your favorite phrase to use when you don't want to say testicles. Go ahead and put it in there. Whether you like, do you like the old sack of potatoes?
Am I allowed to stay in Greek?
Stephen Camp, you know.
In honor of my T-shirt, and to the marbles.
The marbles.
You have no marbles.
Yeah, whatever your favorite phrase is, let us know in the comments section.
Hey, am I allowed to say it in Greek? I don't know.
Go for it. Kicking the pills, Chad W.
The pills? I don't know. It's that Hedia. Okay, there you go. People don't know. What. Google it, kids.
We got some tag team action. Awesome Truth needs number one contenders, and Kiana James is going to help make it happen. We get a four-way Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate versus the Creed Brothers versus AOP versus J.D. McDonagh and Finn Balor of the Judgment Day. Also, Carlito says he's going to help out Judgment Day, even if Priest isn't really interested. And for some reason, J.D. McDonagh wants to pick a fight with Braun Strowman along the way. We get the winners end up being Judgment Day because Carlito helps Judgment Day. And Priest says that was pretty cool. Justin, a lot of moving parts here, but it looks like we also got a lot of business done as well.
Yeah, I like the Carlito aspect of this. Again, it kind of keeps some life going here. I think it plays right into, like, you know, where is Priest really? How copacetic is things with he and the rest of the Judgment Day? And so I like that aspect of it. J.D. McDonagh acting as, like, the tough guy messenger to Braun Strowman was hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, Dom in his sling would have been more intimidating than J.D. the way he did it. So
it looked like the Incredible Hulk versus the Great Gazoo. It was like...
that was funny. And we have to acknowledge, with the Awesome Truth in the backstage... Don't adjudicate in the workplace. That ain't PG.
That ain't PG. Yeah.
R-Truth is great. And yeah, I love the bit when it comes to J.D. McDonagh, I can't remember which commentator said it. He was like, I think he hurt his neck looking at Braun Strowman. Jimmy, any major takeaways from this one? I guess my one thing here is I feel like the Creed brothers are in need of something because they definitely got the talent. And AOP have trouble getting wins for two guys who look like they should just be dominating.
That's the thing too. Perception is reality, and these guys are just monsters and look like they should be mowing over everybody, and that's not happening at all. Especially when you saw, no offense to Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, but they're not exactly the biggest guys in the world. Yes, you can be that tough, smaller guy who could fight, but at some point, you know, they're doing dives on you. They should catch you easily, mm-hmm. and that sort of stuff. But, you know, and as far as the Creed brothers go, these guys are. They're it. Need some time. Give them some time so they can get in situations where they're not in these fatal four-way kind of things, and give them matches where they could display their wares, and also give them some time on the mic. How much have we heard them on the mic? How much have we heard them talk? And that's not an really important facet. Exactly. That's another important facet to your entire presentation. It's the overall thing. Then we have to see that before they take their next step. But in the ring, man, they can do some stuff that's incredible. So I'm looking forward to some big things from them. They just need to work on the other aspects.
I hate the name, by the way.
New Catch Republic is the stupidest name in the world.
It's a really bad name. Terrible. I like the guys. I hate that name.
Guys are great. Name's terrible.
It doesn't flow very easy. I don't think for most people it really even makes sense. I mean, I get it's like catch wrestling, but like I don't know why it's a republic or it's new. It's just... I guess it's like, I don't know. It's just a weird name. I don't like it.
The old Catch Commonwealth. It's stupid.
Back in William Regal's day, we were. It's just stupid. I'm not a fan of it either. No. Bron Breakker says he should have been in King of the Ring, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And Bron Breakker. I don't know. I was digging Pat McAfee bark, and it was cracking me up.
Cracking Cole up. Cole couldn't keep a straight face. Cole's trying to pitch to the video, and he wouldn't let him.
Oh my goodness. I actually kind of like that he's PO'd that he's not in the King of the Ring tournament. He's, you drafted me to this brand and you're not putting him in the tournament. It kind of makes sense. Keep him away from that, because at some point you either make him king, or he has to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes perfect sense, keeping him out of it, and make him an angry Bron Breakker. He says, "You're gonna make me earn this. I'll show you what I earned, and go after it." You know, and you can make that slow build that way instead of having to rush him to the one of the top spots.
Yeah, I did think it was funny. I mean, I'm not really overanalyzing it, but I did think it was kind of funny. Adam Pearce like, well, yeah, you just got here. You have to earn your spot. I'm like, well, Ilya Dragunov's in it. Wasn't he just drafted too? But it is what it is, Justin.
Yeah. Like from this is not to the audience, but from like, again, Triple H creative perspective. Yeah. That's what Jimmy said. If Bron Breakker's not going to win the tournament, don't put him in it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe make the same claim for Ilya Dragunov now that you saw him lose tonight, but I have a feeling that they'll rebound him or what have you. But, so part of me is like, all right, what are we doing here with Bron Breakker? Is he going to like just attack whoever becomes King of the Ring? Is he going to attack whoever on Raw gets to the finals and just make a point and make a statement to say, hey, this is why I'm better? Like, is he supposed to be a heel? Because Adam Pearce is predominantly portrayed as a good guy, as an authority figure. He's not a shady authority figure. He's portrayed as a good guy. So it's like, am I supposed to be getting ready to boo Bron Breakker? Like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be thinking or feeling here. That's kind of my confusion. And Bron Breakker has like a lot of issue right now with Adam Pearce. And Adam Pearce, of course, is a former wrestler. Adam Pearce, like, are we building to like Bron Breakker's gonna like attack Adam Pearce, and that's gonna be like Bron's like first program? I don't know. Like, what I'm confused of what I'm supposed to be feeling here. Like, do I feel bad for Bron Breakker or do I feel bad for Adam Pearce? I don't know who I'm supposed to feel bad for.
Here's wild speculation. What if they're looking at taking Adam Pearce off TV for any reason, and it's going to be Bron Breakker attacking Adam Pearce? And I say this because they just introduced Kiana James, who's going to be helping Adam Pearce, you know, on TV. What if this is the transition to Kiana James taking over as a GM and taking Adam Pearce off TV for any reason?
If the intention is Bron Breakker to be a heel, that would be a big heel thing to do, to attack the general manager and put him on the shelf. Yeah.
As long as they don't use a pile driver.
That's a wild speculation there, but
on the steel steps and then slingshot into the ring frame. Never mind.
I was going to say, it's the slingshot you got to worry about. So that does it for this week's event. Before we go and before we let everyone say their sign off, I do want to say we've got Ding Ding Marbles.
Ooh.
Right in the knackers, the little Jimmies, the Cajones, the Pills, and good old fashioned the Scrotum.
Oh, so can we pay homage to good old JR and just call him right in the slobber knockers?
Right in the slobber knockers. So you guys in the comment section, I want
to he just hit him just south of Tulsa.
Good God, he's broken in half.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So everyone in the chat, we gotta get as many as you can in the comments. Everyone not in the chat, if you listen to this later, put it in the comments, just what you would call it when someone gets hit below the belt, we'll say. Justin, final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
It was another Raw. It's a real good Raw, good action, building the tournament here. So that's what we're doing. So I'm excited to see how this advances, how the tournament finishes out. I'm excited to hear more from Drew. So that's all good. Follow me at Justin LeVar across the socials. Hear me every single Monday night with you fine fellas. And then every single Friday morning, Busted Open Radio. I'm on there, Spars LeVar. And then the entire 3 hours, you can't get enough of me. Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, myself and Jonathan Hood, Busted Open, Channel 156. Busted Open, a lot of great things going on there. I had Undertaker on today, also wow. Interview. So a lot of great stuff. So I'm so proud. I think when you talk about the radio space, there's nothing better than Busted Open in the radio space. And then I'm so happy with what we do here at Wrestling Inc. that I think that, for a live show, immediate reactions, what the three of us do and then what the rest of the team here at Wrestling Inc. does, I'm really proud of that and the engagement with the chat. So happy to be part of both. I feel like I'm part of two different things that are top of the space. It's awesome.
Yeah. Here you.
Yeah, you're killing it, Justin. You're doing all, you're everywhere. But also can't miss stuff over on Busted Open. Everyone, check out Justin LeVar for sure. Jimmy, you got a couple shows you're doing.
Yeah, obviously here on Triple J with Triple J on Monday nights, and after Dynamite with. Are you on again this week, Jay?
Yeah, me and I believe you, me and George again. George. I think we're becoming a regulars.
It's a regular thing, which is a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun on the Wrestling Inc. stuff, man. This is great, and also I'm having a blast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, doing the Roughing It Up podcast with RJ, who holds the glue together. Due to technical difficulties last week, Devon Dudley, one half of the arguably greatest tag teams of all time and Hall of Famer, couldn't join us, but he will be scheduled really soon. But this week we have Shannon Moore joining us, which should be a lot of fun. A lot of good talk there. And also my ref and rants from Monday to Fridays on all my social media platforms, at Jimmy Corderas on Twitter, at Real Jimmy Corderas on Instagram, and it's all over the place. Again, little comments to in my opinion, help tighten some screws if I can. And again, the opinions there are of mine and mine alone. And make sure you check out Roughing It Up, though, because you may get a taste of JK and the Sunshine Band again this week. So,
well, I want to thank everyone for joining us. By the way, all those are great shows. Shannon Moore, I was a big fan of Shannon Moore for a very long time. Everyone, make sure to check those out. I want to shout out everyone in the chat here, by the way. Rocky, Nelly Belly, Safet. I never know. I feel like I'm saying your name wrong every time. So I apologize for that, but I definitely appreciate you being here. Chad W., Rocky, Tuck as well, Mike Martin. Always good to see you as well. Fernando. Thanks for being here. Now, Thursday, I'm going to be calling the action for Prestige Wrestling, and card subject to change. We got a card subject to change. It's going to be the main event now. Shelton Benjamin versus Filthy Tom Lawler. Josh Alexander had to pull out, but that doesn't mean it's not going to be a great show. In fact, Prestige, I've done a few shows for them. Every time they have a replacement match, it seems to completely blow everyone out of the water. So that'll be available on IWTV on Thursday. Check that out. You can follow everything I'm doing at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. That does it for us. We will see you guys. Well, you'll be back. All of us will be back because we're all going to watch the After NXT show after NXT tomorrow. And make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. As well for all the latest wrestling news. Until then, I'm hitting that end stream button.
Models.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.